Memorial Day weekend is coming fast. If you're one of the millions who like to road trip or hit the trails in their off-road vehicle, then your first move should be to hit up Audio Express.
Our trained staff is standing by, ready to outfit your side-by-side, watercraft, RV, or everyday driver for the best-sounding road tripping outdoor fun ever.
JL Audio's new waterproof controller allows you to add amplifiers and speakers to your boat or side-by-side and use your smartphone to stream music via Bluetooth, now just $39.
Outfit your daily driver with rear seat video entertainment or an in-dash AM/FM touchscreen with built-in DVD starting as low as $199.
Visit your friends at Audio Express today.
And make this Memorial Day road trip and outdoor fun the best sounding ever.
See our ad in the Riverfront Times.
And visit AudioExpress.com to chat with us live for internet-only discount coupons and to find the location nearest you.
AudioExpress.com.
Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now, here's Tim, Jim, and Doug live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studio on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM. 9:20 a.m. and inside STL.com.
7:09 in St. Louis, Ryan Kelly Morning After. CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 9:20 a.m. inside STL.com. Live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios, Timothy Michael McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and the cat to your right is a gentleman who works at the Two Fox. He has some of the best hair in the game. He is the White Rascal.
Good morning, gents. White Rascal here, reporting for duty. My dauber's down. I'm not going to be too much good to you.
No, that's Doug's thing. You're full of hot takes. I'd like a quick hot take to set the table. I've got the bell ready, please.
My first hot take is the Blues offense is so cold, it reminds me of the ice they play on.
You beat me, Tim.
How's that?
That's a really nice take, sir.
Thank you.
That's a really nice take. I feel like we should just maybe play a repeat of the Troy Gloss interview from spring training in 2008 and let Frank take over. Today on the program here in your Get Tinted STL, Captain's Log, Sergio Momesso will be with us. He was with us during the Chicago series, and he's going to be with us coming up at 8 o'clock, presented by Gateway Sports Emporium, and Kelly Chase, live from the West Coast. He will be with us at 9:15. There is your Get Tinted STL Captain's Log, along with the Lakeside Roofing Exit Poll, Bert Early Cutlery Cuts of the Week, and our text of the day and email of the day. Send your emails in the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Custom Club Fitting with a Golfsmith Specialist, the prize for the email of the day. Text of the day gets a free roast beef sandwich from Lion's Choice. We encourage you to get involved. Following nights like last night, people love to call in. I like it. I know it's kind of old school sports talk radio to take calls, but these types of calls, it's therapeutic for both us and the audience. So get involved. The Appliance Discounter phone lines, 314-880-0808. The Appliance Discounters with six St. Louis area locations to serve you. ThePlianceDiscounters.com is where you can find them. Spring laundry clearance sale on brands like GE, Samsung, Electrolux, Frigidaire, and LG, and Crossley made by Whirlpool washers and dryers. It's all at the Appliance Discounters, six area locations to serve you. ThePlianceDiscounters.com. The Acorns Golf Link 7 o'clock hour is underway here, and we encourage you to get involved as you imagine the focal point is going to be on the Blues loss last night in San Jose. And I'll start things off by saying I haven't been more bored by playoff hockey than I have been over the last two nights. It's not even a sweat. And in that sense, it reminds me, some people have been making comparisons to the second round against the Kings, if you can remember that series in 2012, where the Blues were swept. For me, this actually kind of reminds me of the 2004 World Series against the Red Sox. Difference, of course, being the Cardinals never won a game, were close to winning game one. But so far, it isn't even close. When they're down 2-0, it's kind of like, oh, it ain't going to happen. They are currently being outclassed and outplayed by San Jose to a level that I have not seen this team experience in the postseason, and I don't know how long. I actually would say this is worse than 2012 against the Kings, because there were games that were close in that series, albeit they were swept. Even the Vancouver series, their first appearance in the playoffs in 5 years, in 2009, there were some close games. You know, 2001, when they lost to the Avalanche in the Western Conference Finals, the last time they were there, a lot of people will always say, well, I mean, that series is a lot closer than a five-game series. This series is not nearly as close as that Avalanche series. This is an absolute debacle for the Blues. And so much of the credit has to go to San Jose, but something isn't right with the Blues, and they are in a bad way. The other side of it, one win, and you come back to St. Louis 2-2 for a Game 5, and you probably feel pretty damn good. The problem is, I just have a tough time seeing how the hell they're going to get that win tomorrow.
And the weird thing is, you hold a team to 16 shots, and then you say the Blues were totally outplayed. It's kind of a bizarre scenario. But the Blues were out-hit, which is bizarre, 2-1 in that game.
For a team that basically hangs its hat on that style of play.
Yeah, and they have absolutely nothing going offensively. Absolutely nothing going offensively. You know, the Sharks get 16 shots. Obviously, they had the better scoring opportunities. They were opportunistic. They made the most of it. But startling, the hits and the puck battles, which the Blues continue to lose.
Right. Two games in a row now. Losing in the postseason should not be shocking to you because the Blues lost three games in each of the first two series. But it's the way they're losing. It's just different than the Hawks series. It's different than the Stars series. And you can make a case that it's really been five periods where the Blues have been significantly outplayed. The third period of the first game, the Blues, it was kind of 50-50. But for the last two games, so I guess what, that's, my math is not very good here, Kat. That's like eight periods in a row where the Blues have been outplayed.
Well, they haven't scored a goal since 9:45 into the second period of game one.
Yeah.
And so, in a way, it's just an odd spot for a sports talk radio host, and then I don't know how the audience feels, and that's why I say I really sincerely, I mean, granted, we open up the phone lines, and it tends to be a freak show, but I do want to hear from fans who, you know, if you're emotional, God bless, that's part of the game. It puts food on everybody's table. But, you know, from a rationale standpoint, I had somebody... Where you are and what you're seeing. You know, I had somebody reach out to me and say, you know who was really good last year during the Minnesota series was Terry Yake. And I, the Seamaster was out and tending to some business yesterday. It was a day that was scheduled to be off, so I didn't want to bother him while he was tending to the business. But Terry Yake is somebody who comes on and you know, gives specifics. You know, it's hockey nerd caliber description. But, you know, from a strategic standpoint, can give input for those who are interested in trying to figure out what's going on, as opposed to, you know, Tarasenko sucks, Elliott sucks, Hitchcock system sucks, whatever. And again, I recognize that, and I'm not really mocking it. It just kind of goes into a different level of analysis that I know we certainly can't provide. So I don't know if he would be available on short notice. I'm fascinated by it because it's so bad. It's so boring. It's just an absolute dissemination. And so in that standpoint, there are times, again, I recognize it's 2-1. But, you know, there have been times, I'm sure you've covered these. I know I have. Charlie, you may have covered these as well at this point. I recall in 2000, for example, when the Cardinals lost the first two games at home against the Mets in the NLCS, I'm like, that's it. We're not going to see them again. They're done. They're not coming back to St. Louis. And they lost in five. When I was doing live shots after Game 2 of the World Series at Fenway Park in 2004, thought, we're not coming back to Boston. Even though there are three games in St. Louis, we're not coming back to Boston. This thing's over. And in that sense, I just don't see anything from the Blues that indicates that they are, you know, I mean, the Blackhawks-Blues series and the Stars-Blues series was infinitely closer through three games, even though the Blues had the 2-1 advantage, it still was an infinitely closer series than the way that this thing is going down at this point. And I'm legitimately confused as to why. I personally feel the line about the team is tired from seven-game series is a cop-out. But at the same time, you hear national analysts bringing that up. I mean, the Sharks are coming off a seven-game series. They only had to play five against the Kings in the first round. I just, you know, I don't know about that. I mean, this is so, so bad that I am truly fascinated as to the reason why.
It's again, I look at the Blues unable to get into the offensive zone where that hadn't been a problem in the past. You know, they lose 3-0. I don't think those goals were Elliott's fault by any stretch. I wonder what they're going to do with their goaltending situation. San Jose makes so much hay out of its power play. They were 0-2. I mean, so that wasn't the problem for the Blues. They just can't get anything generated offensively in terms of quality scoring chances. They are having trouble getting into the offensive zone.
Yeah, I don't know if I buy that they're tired either, because if the Sharks played a 7-game series the last time out, and playing against the Kings even 5, the Kings play that heavy game. I mean, that's going to be a brutal series as well they went through. So both teams are going through basically the same thing. And Ken Hitchcock's done a good job, especially last series, of moving his depth guys in and out. Last series, every move seemed to work in terms of Yashkin, Ott, Reeves, when he played those guys. And you can get some fresh bodies in there. And he tried it last night with Bortuzzo and Pearvey, Yashkin playing again. I don't see the tired angle. I just see, for whatever reason, I don't know if you can just point to a bad matchup. I know it's become a joke when we say that. They did lose 2 out of 3 to the Sharks in the regular season, but they've just been neutralized. Everything they've done well the first two rounds, the Sharks are just taking that out of them.
Dallas was such a different team. They had sort of a casual approach to defense, where San Jose has a body on everyone. On everyone, that are giving the Blues absolutely no space.
Charlie, is this this is Asta on the Appliance Discounter phone lines.
Good morning, Asta.
Hey, Asta is my last name. Asta Mouth is what I go by. ATM, if it's good for you guys.
Yep, no, it's funny. Go ahead.
Pretty good.
Okay, hey, well, I was calling, you know, watching, I'm one of those guys, I jump on kind of the bandwagon late in the year, especially playoffs. Blues let me down so many times, I can't stick around all year. But when I watch them play, and when I watch the other series, especially like the Penguins Lightning, they look like they're all a class above us. Now, I know we've won 2 series to get where we are today, but it just seems like we can't hang with these guys. They're better than us. The first game was kind of a fluke, but they're faster, they're more accurate, and it just I just don't feel like any of the 3 teams out of the 4 teams left that we can hang with. What do you guys think?
I think based on the way the Blues are playing right now, they'd have trouble with the Edmonton Oilers. But I'm truly, you know, when it gets down to it, intrigued as to why it appears there is such a disparity. I mean, the team that we saw, even in losses against the Blackhawks and in losses against the Stars, looked better than the team that we're seeing right now against the Sharks. That was the one thing that I would hold on to in all of the losses, but they were in there. I mean, they were in those games. And if you can recall the losses in those series, I thought the worst game the Blues played was Game 1 against the Dallas Stars. And I would say that was actually worse than Game 6 against the Blackhawks in that debacle of a second period. I just was like, what the hell's going on here? But maybe they're gassed from the 7-game series with the Blackhawks, even though it was 4 nights earlier. With this is just, I mean, if it ends in 5, you go, well, it's almost painless. I mean, I remember being in the Cardinal locker room after they lost to the Red Sox in 2004, first time they've been in the World Series in 17 years, and it was almost like it wasn't that big of a deal for a lot of the guys. I remember Walt Jocketty kind of making a couple jokes because it just was like
They got rolled. Yeah.
And that's what's going on here. So when I say I'm confused by it, it's not an overstatement. It's what I am. I'm legitimately confused by it, and I wonder what's going on inside the room, because they aren't even within a shouting distance. The other side of it, though, is as bad as it's been, you win tomorrow and you come home back to St. Louis, and you actually probably feel good about things because you have Game 5 in your building. Although Game 5 in your building, since 2013, has been a problem for the Blues when a series is tied 2-2, or even in the first round against the Blackhawks when they were up 3-1. But, I mean, God, if you're wagering, you look at that tomorrow and you go, I don't care if it's minus 200. I'm laying money on the Sharks. The Blues just don't seem like the same team. But we've seen them bounce back. The problem is we haven't seen the Blues play sustained quality Blues hockey since the lights went out in Dallas.
And reacting to Asta's call about, I think when you look at some of the other series, you might talk about skill level. Like you see Sidney Crosby's game the goal that he scored on that one timer. It was unbelievable. And Burns the same way, his second goal in game two. But that's not really the Blues game. Like, Tarasenko has some of that in him. But why have the Blues been successful this postseason? You've got great playoffs in terms of goal scoring. Obviously, Elliott has stood on his head for the first two series. But Backes with seven goals. The deflections, gritty goals, same with Brouwer. Berglund's had a big series or a big playoffs because he's a big-bodied guy scoring the tough goals. That's the Blues' style. They're not getting any of that. So it doesn't even necessarily look pretty when they do win. And that's where I think you might look at other teams. You look at Burns' skill level. You look at the Pittsburgh Penguins, and you say, well, the Blues can't compete. I don't agree with that. They're not doing what they do well right now. They're getting out-hit and out-physical, and the Sharks look faster than them when you watch them play.
And the way that the Blues score when they create traffic in front, you know, Pollock pushed out Brouwer. There were little things you saw that let you know this is a different operation that the Sharks have going on in terms of defense and commitment to making sure there weren't a lot of guys in the office, in Backes' office.
And we joke about it, but the whole puck luck thing, Brouwer has now hit three posts in two games. That is something where the momentum changes when you just get one of those and you feel a little better.
I'd like to think the momentum would change. We don't know because we haven't seen them score since the middle of the second period in game one. So there's no way to really see if there's, you know, a positive to that. I would think there is. Don't know. But again, like I said yesterday, it comes down to flow of the game and scoring chances and you know, attempting to arbitrarily decide what is a good chance and what is just a guy firing a puck on net that'll still count as a shot on goal. And from that standpoint, the San Jose Sharks would be up 3-0 if you're just counting and dominating play. And they would be up comfortably 3-0. It wouldn't even be, oh, yeah, maybe they, yeah, game one's a toss-up. If you went to the judges' scorecards on game one, the Sharks would have won it. Fortunately, the Blues were able to score a knockout. But in games two and three, it's been like a Mayweather fight. Just poking away, and the Blues just don't have a chance. All right, let's go more to the phone lines. Before we do so, Sailor Jerry Spice Rum, created in honor of Norman Sailor Jerry Collins. Undisputed father of the old school tattoo and Navy vet who built his rep inking soldiers and sailors in World War II era Honolulu, a true American icon and a stubborn son of a bitch who never compromised his standards or ideals. They make their rum to keep his legacy alive. Sailor Jerry Spice Rum made the old school way. 92 proof, bold and smooth as hell. Ryan, you're on the Appliances Counter phone lines.
Hey, morning, boys. A couple things that I've seen so far, especially last night. One thing that really surprised me is the unforced errors. They can't seem to handle any of the passes. They're either too hot or they bounce over their stick. And the other thing is, it seems like the Blues kind of made adjustments, but those adjustments took them away from their game. You didn't see Backes in his office at all last night, it didn't seem like, and that's how they've scored a lot of their goals.
Absolutely.
Yeah. A couple of quick thoughts.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it looks like the Blues totally are taken out of their game by the Sharks. And as Tim points out, if they can win Saturday, you feel good about it, but you've seen nothing, especially over the last two games, you can include game one also, that makes you think they will win that game, which is unfortunate. They've just been badly outplayed.
Agreed. Nothing in the last two games, particularly really the last two and a half of these games, leads you to believe that that would happen. But I also don't think this team just got really bad overnight.
314-880-0808, Sergio Momesso, Kelly Chase. We may have Terry Yake as well coming up on the radio program. We welcome you to get involved throughout. 314-880-0808, the Appliance Discounter phone lines. You can text in on the very same number, and, of course, you can email in the morning after at insidestl.com. It is the Acorns Golf Links, 7 o'clock hour. They're a family-owned and operated golf course online at acornsgolflinks.com. It's an ideal tournament and banquet facility for your next event, like a bachelor party. Visit Acorns Bar area, and you tell me where else in the area you can get a $2 beer. Not to mention, they have 12 different draft beer options and several big screens to enjoy after your round. It's Acorns Golf Links, the sponsor of the 7 o'clock hour here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. So let's hear what Ken Hitchcock had to say following the game. It is our Llewellyn's Pub Fun with Audio. Ken Hitchcock attempting to find positives to look at following Game 3.
We're the first team of these two teams that's taken the bump now. Somebody had to be down 2-1. Neither one of us have experienced that, so we're going to have to deal with it, but it's still only 2-1. And we had a lot of good things today. Our fourth line was incredible. Looks like we got a real viable line that can play a lot more minutes. if the coach is a little smarter. And we got something going there. We got more participants. But what we really need is for a clearer understanding with some of our players who have in some ways had it a little bit their own way. This is harder because the team we're playing is fully committed to checking. Every player is. And it's going to be really difficult for both teams to score. And they got the lead, and that second goal was the killer for us right now. And that's how fine the line is right now.
Well, that was bad. That was a bad, bad goal. And there's a lot of truth to it. I heard saw Anson Carter on the NBC Sports postgame show last night talking about when Ken Hitchcock's teams are playing well, and Ken Hitchcock said it himself. He says it sometimes during the in-game interviews. I side usually with Pierre McGuire this round with Brian Boucher, who was a guest of ours early in the week. When this team is firing on all cylinders, and Roenick was saying it, when Ken Hitchcock teams are firing on all cylinders, they're playing north-south. Well, Fabry had a zero upside pass east-west, picked off, and sets up that odd man rush and a beautiful one-timer by San Jose to go up 2-0. The thing is, for me, and I don't know where you guys were, when they were down 1-0, it's not like I'm like, they're just on the verge of crap. It's you know, when Dallas would score, and Dallas scored first a number of times in that series, you're just kind of like, okay, it's going to be like the Rams in 2000. Everybody's going to score. In this, you go, when they scored early, with 4 minutes left in the first period, I'm going, that could be it. Didn't think it would be, but it actually went through my mind. When Dallas would score a few minutes in, I'd go, oh, whatever.
It's a different operation defensively. Oh, yeah. I mean, I said it before. I mean, the Blues are challenged every time they go into the, or try to get into the offensive zone. Everywhere they go, there's a body. And in the Dallas series, I felt they had a very casual approach to defense. It's totally different.
And you're not getting 30 shots a game. And when you're getting the 22 shots, you have a guy in Martin Jones who's not giving up the soft goals either.
And to be out hit the way they were. And I'm sure we have the sound. I don't know if you saw Hitchcock. I know people are all over Tarasenko, but I thought Hitchcock's comments about Tarasenko were kind of telling.
Yeah, here's what Ken Hitchcock had to say, because understandably he was asked about the performance of Tarasenko so far.
As you experience this as a younger player, you're going to have to learn to fight through a lot if you expect to score. And we would like him to learn that lesson a day from now, but we're not sure that on the time frame. Some guys never learn it. Some guys can't do it. Some guys learn that lesson and they really become accomplished players, especially scoring players. But he is going to have to fight through everything if he expects to score a goal and contribute offensively. And there's some days that he's just going to end up being an effective player and not even get a point. But he's going to have an understanding of what it takes to play at this time of year in the conference final with 100% commitment on the other side and still be an effective player.
Right. I mean, that's pretty telling. I mean, that's in a nice way, using a little bit of delicate language, he kind of called him out saying, you got to be tougher, right? I mean, that's my takeaway.
And he said something similar during the Dallas series when there was a stretch there. He had a two-game stretch where Tarasenko didn't score. But then he looked, in his last six games, Tarasenko has one goal. And I know scoring opportunities are not the same in the postseason, but still, your number one goal scorer, a guy who gave you 40 during the regular season, it's got to be more than that.
And if they're paying a lot of attention to him, and they should, but I guess Hitch's point is if they're paying extra attention to you, you need to be a factor helping other guys get going, and we haven't seen that.
Plow Shark, you were on the Sharks playing the Penguins in the Stanley Cup Finals about a month ago. You pivoted before the start of this Western Conference Final Series to the Blues. Your analysis, sir?
It was a rough one. I didn't think it could get much worse after Game 2, but I'm pretty sure this was a worse game than Game 2. I don't know if you can compare the two or not. But if we don't get away from the dump-and-chase game, we will lose the next two games. You can't dump-and-chase a team that is so much faster than you and can get the puck. And on Tarasenko, he was losing board battles with fourth-line forwards. And that's not a good sign for a guy that's making $7.5 million, $8 million a year.
Aren't they dumping and chasing because they... they can't get any or any sort of structure going otherwise? Isn't I aren't would they forced into that?
I would agree, but the speed of that, I mean, with Hurdle and Pavelski alone, that line, it just absolutely dominated this series. And if you can't slow them down, whether it be with hitting or slowing it down and keeping the puck in your zone to tire them out, this series will be over in two games.
And I'm shocked by the hits. I mean, 2-1, the Blues out hit. When do you see that?
That's why I would be really surprised if you didn't see Reeves in the next game. And I'm not saying that's going to make all the difference in the world, but in that one facet, he does bring the energy and the hitting and can try to set the tone of that's the kind of game we want to play. We want to get more even in that category.
Did you just post a message in our fantasy baseball league in the middle of this segment?
I think I did that earlier today.
It says 7:29 a.m.
I sent it earlier before I got here, actually. Is that a time zone difference? Because my time zone is different on the fantasy baseball league.
I don't know.
Seems like a cover story.
No, my fantasy baseball
time
zone.
I just had an email pop up and I go, oh, it's somebody in our fantasy baseball. Like, oh, it's the guy sitting next to me co-hosting.
My fantasy baseball page has me on Pacific time for whatever reason.
Oh, West Coast to Best Coast.
Yeah, I don't know how to change that.
You're,
but I am looking for
with the
a good first baseman.
Why.
You're with the Rammies?
You're with the Rammies. You're a Ram guy.
I'm not. Not anymore. I was home with the Rams, but not any longer, Cat.
So, to me, looking ahead to tomorrow, like, I believe in Ken Hitchcock. I think he's a brilliant coach, and I know there's a lot of folks that disagree with his system and how he's ruining players, whatever. But if there are any offensive adjustments that he can make, he will. The question is, are there any that will change the tide?
Jim, you are on the Appliance Discounter phone lines.
Hey, good morning, guys. Obviously a tough night we're talking about, but the only thing I'm a little confused because I don't know hockey like Ken Hitchcock. I'm not claiming to, but I heard him say, you know, when you guys just played his interview, he said we learned something last night. Our fourth line was incredible. Well, can you guys help me? What incredible things did they do? I mean, there was nothing incredible about it, and those guys hardly played. So, I mean, obviously as a coach, you might have saw some, but did the fourth line play longer than 5 minutes? And I'm just confused. I heard the coach say they were incredible. I'd like to know what incredible things they did.
Charlie was supposed to track that.
But the fourth line's always going to play 5 to 7 minutes.
I think sometimes coaches say things like that as a way to sort of call out the stars for not being as involved as, you know, the guys at the bottom of the totem pole. Sometimes you talk about how great a guy was when you're not getting production from the guys you need it from.
Right, and also, that line, again, even if it's Reeves, Ott, doesn't matter who's on the ice, they're only going to play for about, at the most, 7 minutes. You can still play really well and do good things in that time. And, you know, you look at the other lines. The scoring lines, they're not scoring. Hitch is saying at least that line is doing its job, bringing some energy, getting some hits, things like that.
What are your feelings? Can they even the series?
I think they can, yeah. Again, I'm not saying that anything I've saw the last two games would lead me to believe that, but also I'm not going to just forget about 82 games and two series of the playoffs where they've been one of the best teams in all of hockey. So I'm not saying the flip the switch thing, but the Blues can play a much better game, the Sharks can come back down a little bit, and yeah, it would not shock me one bit if the Blues won on Saturday.
In general, you can't do this with the NFL or college football or college basketball, but in general, when it comes to the NHL, Major League Baseball, or the NBA, is there a series, and this is, of course, subjective, and I'm asking the audience, in addition to everybody here, that you can think of in which a team was really outplayed to the point where it looked like they weren't even in the thing for the first three games. Fortunately, in this one, it's not 3-0, it's 2-1. And then, on a dime, in game four, it turned, and that team that was dominated for the first three came back to win it. I would imagine it's happened, but because of the way, like you said, Charlie, earlier in the 7 o'clock hour, because of the way with which it's happened, it strikes me as a hell of a lot more unlikely than a team being down at standard 2-1. If the Blues were down 2-1 to the Blackhawks, or if the Blues were down 2-1 to the Stars, it wouldn't feel as desperate as it feels now. You know, I'd be shocked at this point if the Blues win this series, based on what we have seen in the first three games. But, you know, again, the thing that I will keep saying is that one win tomorrow and you're like, I like where they are. Two of the next three would be in St. Louis. Granted, they haven't played well in St. Louis, don't get me wrong, but you'd be sitting there going, the series is even, and the Blues have home ice. And you got that going Monday night, and they're two wins away from the Stanley Cup Finals. But right now, it doesn't feel like there's much of a chance at all. So I'm trying to think, can you think of anything? Is there a Cardinal series, an NBA series, an NBA? I know that the Sharks were up 3-0 on the Kings a few years ago. It might have been last year, actually. I can't recall what it was. It seems like they always play each other, and the Kings would always pawn them. And the Kings were able to just turn it. And then at that point, once it became 2-2, it was like, oh my God, the Sharks are going to blow this 3-0 series lead, or 3-2, excuse me. The Sharks are going to blow this 3-0 series lead. But it's not like I was watching intently on that. I just remember that they were up 3-0 and the Kings came back and won four straight. But even then, you know, again, I cite the 2001 Western Conference Finals, and I realize plenty of our audience, young, don't even remember it. Others just don't remember it in general. But that series was a tight series. I think every game but game one went to at least one overtime, and including Joe Sakic's game winner at the Pepsi Center in game five to end the Blues season. This is a different operation. These things aren't even close. I mean, it's not even a sweat. I find myself, like, reading during the game. It's so damn boring.
The one thing I will say, you mentioned the word desperate, and that's a word you hear a lot of hockey insiders and people that have played. They use that word in talking about which team plays with desperation. And it's obvious. The Blues aren't dumb. Even though they're not playing well, they know that basically if they lose this game Saturday, it's over. I mean, the chance of them coming back to win three straight is such a small percentage. The Blues know it's basically a must-win game. So I do think from that standpoint, the Blues will be the team playing with more desperation on Saturday, knowing that they have to even this thing to have any real chance of winning. So I think you have that going in their favor. And also, I just don't think they're as bad as we've seen. And I don't think it's as bad of a matchup. Like, I just can't believe the Blues are going to get flat-out dominated four games in a row. I think they have a better game in them. And Martin Jones, this guy's not Martin Brodeur, although right now he looks like that.
Yeah, isn't it interesting? You got a guy who's posted two back-to-back shutouts in the Western Conference Finals, and relatively speaking, yeah, it isn't getting that much attention because those watching been, because he hasn't been tested.
He hasn't been. Yeah. I mean, look at
like when Lettinen won, was it game six? Was it? It was a game six and so whatever.
Where you
felt like
really
Lettinen stole a game?
Yeah, game six.
That was the story of the game, actually, and it was justifiable. Here, you got a guy, and it's not a shot at Jones. He just hasn't been tested. It's like if Elliott dealt with, like, a handful of shots, and none of them were really that tough of opportunities.
He made the saves he had to, but right. He hasn't. I mean, the quality of the chances they're getting is not good. I mean, you win the shots on goal battle, but that didn't tell the story because San Jose got good shots and made them count.
Let's see what we got here. Oh, it's Caller Adam, everybody.
Hey, I signed up our team for Wiffle Ball last night.
Charlie, so, Wiffle Ball tournament's fast approaching. It is June 25th at Francis Park.
Well, that's the problem, though, is that I'll be there, but that's my main bitch's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And I got her set up for a spa day, so I'm going to have my daughter, and we're going to be going. So here's the deal. I need somebody to call or text in, let me know if they can just watch her during the Wiffle Ball game. I'll take care of her the rest of the time. But somebody's got to at least hold her or play with her or keep her attention. Tim, what's that text call-in number? I forgot it.
Oh, it's 314-880-0808.
And you would trust Anna Marie's going to be there. Would she watch Violet?
I will text Anna Marie and see if she watch Violet. Is that the name of your daughter, Adam?
Yes.
Okay. I
like
text
that
her.
Name.
And you would trust a random listener to watch your daughter if Anna Marie can't do it?
I mean, yeah.
No. No, you would not.
Will you be there, Jim?
I will not be there, right? It's a road trip, I think.
Charlie, will you be there?
Charlie's playing.
I think so. I haven't checked my schedule yet.
Your fiance's name is Jessica, yeah?
It is.
That's my wife's name. She can watch Violet. It would be she would know no difference.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's a good point.
I'll ask her.
Okay. Well, you guys just ask them and let me know. And Blues are going to lose. They're not going to win any more games. Okay, bye.
There it is. Call Adam.
Ray of
he might be right, unfortunately. About the Blues, that is.
Taking a look at the text inbox. If you look back, this is every year they've hit the Hitchcock wall. That's from the 314.
Come on. This is totally different. The Hitchcock wall in previous years was the first round. If you get beat by a team that's outplaying you, and obviously, yes, coaching matters. Ken Hitchcock, again, I said it earlier, he had the right touch in that second round. Every move he made paid off. Right now, nothing is paying off. I mean, the moves he makes aren't paying off, and the players aren't playing well that are in there all the time.
David Backes on the Blues having to play their game of hockey and having to do it ASAP.
When we haven't played well, we've parked it and we've come out with good efforts and played better the next game. Limiting mistakes and playing together as a group is what we've done and made us to the conference finals here. And that's the way we're going to have to play if we want to get out of the conference finals. And we're being tested, and now we need to really stick to what's got us here. And if we do that, we'll enjoy a little bit more success.
David Backes, we'll see if that if he can go back into his office, as we've been saying here in the Acorns Golf Link, 7 o'clock hour. Garrison's River Resort is where you can go with Caller Adam for a float trip this summer. Garrison's River Resort in Steelville is your summer getaway destination for rafting, canoeing, camping, and more. Campsites have electrical hookups, so you can camp out under the stars, rest comfortably in a ranch house, or sleep a large group in a bunkhouse. Don't feel like packing a bunch of food and supplies. Check out the barbecue splash package and let them do the cooking. If you make your reservations at Garrison's 2 weeks in advance, you'll receive 20% off when mentioning CBS Sports 105.7 HD2 FM 920 AM and InsideSTL.com. You can book online at garrisonscanoe.com. That's garrisonscanoe.com, or call 1-800-367-8945. Garrison's River Resort, your float trip headquarters for Ryan Kelly Morning After listeners. Yeah, Mike.
Good morning, guys. Hey, this song and dance seems like the Cardinals Red Sox in 2004, where this is like, wow, that was quick. You had no chance to win.
Indeed.
But this is where a couple of years ago, I seen a series turn on a dime, only because I bet them to win the whole thing. The San Jose Sharks just looked incredible against the Kings, and were up 3-0. Not maybe as good as this, but they looked like they had that series won completely. And in the span of 5-6 days, they were eliminated. So things can change on a dime, but I just don't know, see any way, or I don't know what you would do. That's the ugliness of this series, is I don't know where to pinpoint the blame or anything. It's just like, wow, just one of those things where it just kind of snowballed, and how do you stop it?
Thank you very much, Mike. Some people have been texting in series that did change out of nowhere, and it was over, and there's one that's near and dear. 2012 NLCS. 2012 NLCS, it felt like, if you can recall, a foregone conclusion with Lance Lynn starting against Barry effing Zito in Game 5 on a Friday night, that it was just time for another coronation. And it would be back-to-back World Series appearances for the Cardinals. And somehow Barry Zito shut the Cardinals down. Lynn threw a ball into the outfield, and it spiraled out of control. Cardinals were never really in it again. That was a caller that suggested that, and that person bolted like the wind in the text inbox. One that would be not so near and dear to your heart, the cat. 12 years ago, when the Yankees were up 3-0 on the Red Sox, that did then relate to St. Louis a week later, and that turned around. That was the ninth inning, and the Red Sox were down in Game 4 on the verge of being swept, and then, God, they were a machine the rest of the way.
Momentum suddenly changed. Yeah. And it's good we have callers and texters, because even though we've seen these things, we're not smart enough
to remember
them.
Yeah. So that's a nice trait that we have.
It's hard to remember series from 10 years ago. And also, like, were those first three games between the Red Sox and Yankees? I can't remember. But were they close? You know what I'm saying? Because the last two games for the Blues were not.
Right. And that's the thing about the Giants-Cardinals series in 2012. It felt like it was over. It really did. You know, it felt like it was over. And then it did turn. And then by the time Game 7 rolled around, I don't know where you guys were on that one. I think I was emotionally risk managing. You're like, yeah, it's a Game 7, but you're tuning in and going, I already know what's going to happen. They're going to lose this thing. And it's just all but inevitable. I think many Texas Rangers fans probably felt that way after the famous Game 6, albeit that wasn't a 3-1 series lead or a 3-0 series lead. Let's see. This is how you change a series. Courtnell runs Jamie Storr. Tomorrow, Reeves runs Jones. Something.
Reeves is going to play. Something?
You think he'll be out there?
I do.
You think?
Reeves.
What about Jake Allen? Because some.
I think Allen will also be out there. And I'm not saying that
really?
Because
wow.
I do. I really do. Not because Brian Elliott has necessarily played poorly.
Because you're looking for a spark.
Just because it's something different, and Jake Allen has been a really good goalie as well. And at this point, why not change it up? I'm not saying it's Elliott's fault by any means, but I think most people would agree. Jake Allen is darn close to Brian Elliott in skill level and what he can do in there. So at this point, after looking at two games, really two and a half games where you've played really bad, why not switch it up and see if, for whatever reason, that does
spark
you?
Here, and at first I thought, yeah, I would go with Allen. You need a spark. You got to push some buttons, so see if that's the right button. But then I thought, with the way Elliott's played, I mean, who's better? Who has stolen games? Who has been a guy that has been a real difference maker where you win a game that maybe you shouldn't? And it's been Elliott. So I'm thinking, don't you want that guy in there too?
But don't you think Allen has that in him?
I think he
hasn't had real time in this postseason.
I think he does, and I'm not talking about being loyal to the guy that got you there. I'm just saying that Elliott's done it several times in the postseason where it's very difficult, and to me he's the most likely guy to be able to do it again, but I would certainly understand if they switch.
And also, again, I'm not Harry Hockey, but it goes back to what Kelly Chase even said before Game 7 against Dallas where he said Jake Allen is a guy with the way he moves the puck, that he's basically a third defenseman right back there. And maybe for style of play, that could be different in this game. Again, at this point, the goaltender at this point doesn't really – that's not the reason you're losing.
Agreed.
So if you can change it up and if he changes the style of play by being able to move the puck out of the zone faster, at this point, why not try it?
I also wondered.
I'm anxious to hear what Momesso and Chase say about this. Chase is pretty candid with his stuff for being a guy who's obviously working with the team.
Chase said again, sorry to interrupt, but he said again last night, I think it was on the radio, somebody quoted the quote that he thinks Allen, you know, could help with what he does in terms of moving the puck.
I think that's understandable. I just wonder, too, if the Blues somehow break through and score early, if that changes what San Jose is doing. If the Blues can somehow break that funk and get a goal, if that's the way. I mean, they haven't been able to do it for a lot of periods now in a row.
You can text in 314-880-0808. You can call in 314-880-0808. We'll be joined by Sergio Momesso at 8 o'clock, brought to you by the Gateway Sports Emporium. Great place to go before and after a Blues game. Watching the game tomorrow, you can do so at the Gateway Sports Emporium on the landing. It is a Blues fan bar on the landing. Kelly Chase coming your way at 9:15 from San Jose. He's brought to you by GFI Digital. It is the Acorns Golf Links, 7 o'clock hour here on Ryan Kelly Morning After. 314-880-0808, 314-880-0808. Hey, the cat doesn't sound like he deep-throated a horse this morning. Nice. The cat, are you getting better?
I feel like I'm getting better.
Yeah.
You know what I did, Tim?
What's that?
I rediscovered my passion for AM Sports Talk Radio.
Oh, my God!
And regional cable. And
how?
That's what got me through.
How did that happen?
I looked inward, and I trusted my stuff.
Nice take.
You sound much better.
No, I feel better. I mean, I never felt bad. I just didn't have a voice. So. And by the way, you guys look great. Charlie has the wife beater on today under the sweatshirt.
That's today I kind of did it, though, just as a joke. Like, I probably would have worn it anyway, but because it was a show topic yesterday.
A hot topic.
I might as well do it again.
Hey.
There he is.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's going on?
We're just a little sad that the Blues lost.
Yeah, hey, tonight I'm going to dancing tonight.
You're going dancing tonight?
Yeah.
Where are you going, that In Cahoots?
With Jessica.
Yep.
Tonight.
Where are you going? In Cahoots.
With her. And Friday and Sunday, me and her are going to Pitney.
Nice.
I'm not going to tell Penny that.
Don't tell Penny that.
So I can't wait tonight and go dancing with her.
Where are you going to go dancing?
She picked me up.
Okay. Maybe a little dinner?
Yeah, that one too.
Nice.
Jessica's so cool.
She is very cool. Do you like her better than Penny, or is it tied for first?
I like Jessica. She always come to my house every day, spend time.
Nice. She seems like a nice, lovely person.
Hey, Dad.
Doug's not here. It's Charlie. I'll be Doug. You can talk
I'll be
to me
Doug.
If you want.
Yes, yes, Mike. Doug here.
Doug's not here today. Who? Where he at?
Charlie, why don't
just
you attack
use, no,
Charlie?
I'll tell you what. Now I think about it. Use Kat's name. Just say Jim.
No, say say Doug.
It's yeah, just say Doug. Anyway.
Hey, Doug.
Like a dumbass.
All right, thank you.
You know, it's kind of straightforward material there. Sometimes it fires off well. Sometimes it doesn't. Yes, Scott. Yes, Scott.
Scotty.
Good morning. How are you?
Great, yes, thanks.
Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, listen, I just started listening. I had to get my kid to school, so if you guys have already said this, I apologize.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the Blues just look like a tired team to me. I mean, they played, what is it, was their 17th playoff game, postseason game last night, and I know that's not an excuse, but don't they just look tired?
Well, I don't like that, but, you know, there were other people, you know, Milbury, Carter, Roenick, I think, may have said it last night. So I don't know if there's truth to it. You know, either way, if the Sharks were playing their 15th game. Yes, they didn't go 7 with the Kings, but they did go 7 with the Predators. And the disparity in the quality of play, to me, can't be explained away by simply a team being tired.
No, I agree. You know, their best scoring chance last night was Bouwmeester when he was trying to deflect the puck, defending in front of the net and almost tipped an end goal on Elliott. So it's, you know, they just look flat. I'd like to see Reeves. I'd like to see Reeves get in the lineup. I think we need that energy and, you know, maybe he can make a difference. I don't know, but we need Reeves.
I agree. They got to start pushing some buttons there, Charlie. The buttons they pushed didn't seem to work in Game 3.
And Hitch in the presser did say, again, I said this before, that he'll sleep on the goalie decision for Game 4. I just have a feeling that this time he might actually make the change.
Seems like a little bit more desperate this time. I agree. I think he's more likely to make it than not.
Michaels Flooring Outlet.com is where you can find one of our sponsors. Michaels has 4 great locations to visit and a huge new showroom at their St. Peter's location. What sets them apart is their employees. When you come in, they will ask questions that others may not, and will try to find the perfect match instead of selling what they have overstocked. Michaels great for everyone. They're the perfect for the do-it-yourselfers or the contractors. There are so many things that go into a purchase, but go to the others first and then come to Michaels, and I know you will see the difference. When you think of Michaels, you should think local. Michaels has been in local in St. Louis for over 20 years. They're in St. Charles County. They're in West County. They're in North County. They're in Darden Prairie. It's Michaels Flooring Outlet online at michaelsflooringoutlet.com. Sergio Momesso brought to you by Gateway Sports Emporium. That's coming your way at 8 o'clock. Kelly Chase, 9:15. Burterly Cutlery Cuts of the Week. Lakeside Roofing, Exit Poll, and your emails for the email of the day. The morning after at InsideSTL.com. It's a custom club fitting with a golfsmith specialist is the prize for the email of the day. We will take a break. Come back with Sergio Momesso next on the Ryan Kelly Morning After.